Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Lamed Vav. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. As long as Zechon is Maslip, Gabriela Bashmuel. We have to catch up on Lamed Hamad Al for the bottom of the Amud. And we have one more sugya to do in order to conclude the third parak of the Masechta. It is a little bit of a tricky sugya. It's a little difficult, but we'll navigate. Let's start with the Mishnah. We're on the bottom of Lamed Hamad Al, starting with the Mishnah. Shur Shaya Rodif Achashor Acher. So, classic example where one shore is chasing another. Shor Vehuzak. And there was damage. But here's the problem. The problem is that we have pieces of evidence, but we don't have the full picture. We know that there was a chase. They turned a corner. The animal that was being chased got damaged. The animal that did the chasing walked away. And so now the owner of the damaged animal is turning out to the owner of the aggressive animal and says, I'm pretty sure I know what happened. And that is that after they turned a corner, so your animal inflicted a wound on my animal. And as the Mishnah is about to point out, the aggressor's animal is going to say, the owner of the aggressive animal is going to say, no. Meaning, yeah, there was a chase, but after they turned the corner, your animal did damage to itself. Let's see this in the Mishnah. So, shur shahaya rodef achashur acher. Shur, right, I'm sorry. Rodef achashur acher. Vihuzak, and there was damage. Zeh omer shur chahizik. So, there's always going to be, there's going to be a toin and a nitan. The one making the claim, and the one defending himself against the claim. Right? A litigant and a defendant. So, zeh omer shur chahizik. So the litigant says, your ox damaged my ox. Vizeh omer loki ala beselalaka. And the other one says, no. The other one says that the defendant says, no. Yes, I'm up to you. I'm with you to a point. I agree that my animal chased your animal, but after they turned the corner, your animal did the damage to itself. Now, it's interesting over here because if you look Rashi carefully, Rashi says, Beselalaka, Mischache Chaya Beselavalaka. Rashi over here gives a very, very specific example in terms of what exactly is the claim of the defendant. He's saying, says Rashi, that after your animal turned the corner, so your animal decided to scratch itself on a rock and therefore did damage. Now it's interesting, and I saw there was a discussion in this Rashi, because really, what if as a result of the chase, meaning there was no actual damage between the two shvarim, but as a result of the chase, the animal that was being chased tripped and fell and hurt himself. Is that going to be a legitimate claim against the Shor HaMazik? And so, unclear. Meaning, and maybe that's why Rashi specifically chose a scenario in which the defendant is saying, no, what happened is that your animal decided to scratch itself on a rock after it turned a corner. Meaning, my animal had nothing to do with the nezik of your animal. Okay, anyway. What's the halacha? So you've been around the Gemara long enough, you all know the halacha. Here's the Mishnah in Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Hey, Matzah Mechaver Al Averaya. So here's basically the issue. The issue is, we don't know. We don't know what the conclusion was. One person is trying to extract money from another person. That's not enough to extract money. The basic rule regarding Mamonos is that if I'm going to try to extract money from you, I have to bring Raya, I have to bring proof positive. It's not enough to conjecture what happened. I have to know what happened, and not only do I have to know what happened, that's not enough. I have to have Eidim. I have to have witnesses that say what happened. So this violates the most basic tenet of Mamonos. Hamotzi mechaver lo v'raya. So the Mishnah is telling us, so over here, the litigant simply does not have a case, and he's not going to be able to extract money. Next case in the Mishnah. Hai shnayim rodfim achar echad. Zeh omer shor chahizik v'zeh omer shor chahizik. So here, unfortunately, it was a gang up. Two animals were chasing one animal, and the animal got damaged. One of the animals did the damage. And once again, now, finger pointing. But here, it's actually the two defendants pointing to one another. And they're saying, Shor Chahizik, Vizeh Omer Shor Chahizik. And each defendant just simply pointing to the other one and saying, oh, well, my ox didn't do the damage. It was his ox that did the damage. And the other one, of course, is going to be making the same exact sentence. And the Mishnah says, Shnehem, in such a scenario, Shnehem Peturim, we're on the top of Lamed Hamad base. They're both going to be exempt. they're both going to be exempt because, once again, it follows the rule of Hamotz Mechaver Al Avaraya, because we don't know which ox did the damage. One of them did, but we don't know which one it is. You cannot extract money from somebody if you do not know definitively that he owes the money. Next case in the Mishnah. Im hayushneim shel ish echad. Let's say the two oxen are owned by one person. So now, he doesn't know which one of his oxen did the damage, but one of them did. So here, he is going to be on the hook. So, shneim chayavim. They're both going to be liable. Now, that's a strange language. Because if they're both owned by one person, why does the Mishnah say shnehem chayavim? The Mishnah should say something more along the lines of hu chayav, or just simply chayav. Why does it say shneim chayavim? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask that question. Haya echa gadol ve'echa katan. Let's say the two animals were owned by one person. One animal was big, the other one was small. Hanizik omer gadol hizik, v'amazik omer lo ki ela katan hizik. And here's the litigation. The litigant says, your animal harmed my animal, and specifically the large one harmed my animal. Now keep in mind, it's going to make a difference if these animals are tamim. So let's assume for the purpose of this discussion that these animals are tamim. We know the halacha is that by a tam, you pay chatzi nezik, it's migufo. It's capped at the size of the animal. So it's obviously in the interest of the Nizak to say that the larger of the two animals was the one that did damage to my animal, because now you're dealing with a larger cap size. So obviously it's within his interest. And it's going to be within the interest of the Mazik to say, no, it's a smaller animal that did the damage, because now you're capping it at the smaller animal. So in such a circumstance where, again, let's see it inside in the Mishnah, Echa gadol ve'echa katan, hanizik omer gadol hizik, v'amazik omer lo ki ela katan hizik, echa tam ve'echa muad. Now, before giving us the conclusion, which you probably can guess correctly already, but now the Mishnah is going to give us another case. Let's say, once again, the two animals were owned by one person. One animal's a tam, the other one's a muad. Now, again, everyone's going to be arguing in their self-interest. Hanizik omer muad hizik. So the nizak is going to say, yeah, it was the muad that did the damage. And of course, the nizak is going to say that, because if it's a nizak, you pay. I'm sorry. If it's a muad, you pay full damages. V'amazik amar lo ki ala tam hizik. And the mazik says, no, it was the tam that did the hezik, which means that I'm only going to be liable for half damages. So in both of these cases, hamotzi mechaver ala varaya. So once again now, whenever you're extracting money, you are going to be extracting only money that you know definitively is owed to you. And anything above that, you're not going to be paid. So in these examples, the simple reading of the Mishnah is that in this case, the defendant is going to be paying the smaller of the amounts. So for example, in the case of the Gadol and Katan, they're both animals are tamim, and one's a large animal, one's a small animal, and the defendant says that my small animal did damage, so then he only has to pay out of the small animal, he does not have to pay out of the large animal. In the second example that we just went over, one's a tam and the other's a muad, and the defendant is saying, yes, one of my animals damaged you, but it was a tam, it wasn't the muad, so he only has to pay chatzi nezik, not nezik shalom. Okay. Hayu hanezikin shnayim. So let's say now we have damages where four animals were involved, two were the aggressors, two were the victims, and of the two aggressors, one was big, one was small. Of the two victims, one animal was one big, one animal was small. The nizak omer gadol hizik es agadol v'katan es akatan. Now the nizak, now again, everyone's going to be arguing in their self-interest. So the nizak is going to say, look, here's what happened. The large animal damaged the large animal. And the small animal damaged the small animal. And that, of course, is going to be working in the interest of the nizak. Again, let's assume that all the animal over here are tamim. So now, you obviously want, from the nizak standpoint, from the litigant standpoint, you want the large animal damaging the large animal. Because remember, by tam, you're capping it at the size of the animal, and you're going to be paying damages based on how much damage was done. So if the large animal now is damaging the large animal, that obviously serves in the best interest of the nizak. Because, number one, in terms of the cap, because it's a large animal that did damage, so the cap size is great. Number two, because it damaged a large animal, so whatever the cap size is, you're going to be paying for the damages of the larger animal, meaning more damage to actually pay. And then for as far as the small animals are concerned, fine. In other words, there's not going to be a lot of damage for the small animal. So you're going to obviously want to specify that the small animal damaged the small animal. But obviously this works in the best interest of the Nizah. The Mazik, of course, is going to be arguing just the opposite. Mazik Amar Loki Ala Katan Hasagado Vegado Sekatan. The Mazik's going to argue that the large animal inflicted a wound on the small animal, and the small animal inflicted a wound on the large animal. And that obviously serves in the interest of the Mazik. Because consider that once you have a small animal inflicting a wound on the large animal, whatever the damages are, it's going to be capped at the size of the animal that did the damage. Since the animal that did the damage is a small animal, so that protects the Mazik because it caps in terms of how much he's going to have to pay. And if the large animal did damage to the small animal, so yeah, the cap size is bigger, but the amount owed is obviously going to be smaller. So this obviously works in the interest of the Mazik. So, and before we give the conclusion, which again, we can probably all see coming, the Mishnah gives another example. Echad tam ve'echad muad. One animal is a tam, the other animal is a muad. Hanizik amar muad, hizik is a gadol, v'tam is a katan. And once again, everyone's going to be arguing in their self-interest. The Nizik is going to say that the muad damaged the large animal. So that means that you're going to be paying me full damages on the large animal that was damaged. And the tam hit the katan. So you're only going to be paying me half damages on the smaller animal. Obviously, this argument works in the interest of the Nizak. Hamazik omer lo ki ala tam es agadav umuad es akatan. And the Mazik says, no, just the opposite happened. So in these last two cases, hamotzim echaver ala veraya. So again, what comes out in the Mishnah is if I'm going to try to extract money from somebody, I have to know with definitive proof that that person did exactly what I said he did. And anything above that, he's not going to be on the hook for. So the simple pshat of the Mishnah is that he's going to get the smaller amount. That's the simple pshat of the Mishnah. We're going to challenge that later on, in just a little bit. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Zos Amaretz Chalukin Alav Chaver Aval Simchus Da Amar Mamun Amuta Basafek Cholkin. The opinion of Simchus, which when we start Bab Metzia in the very first daf of Bab Metzia, we're going to be introduced to at length. Simchus says that whenever you have money that is in a state of Safek, we do not know who the money belongs to. So then, Cholkim. Simcha says that you take the money and you divide the money. And Simcha seems to be against the basic premise of Hamotzim Echaver Ola Varaya. Okay. Although, there's much discussion about the context of when Simcha says it's halacha, but again, for our purposes right now, all we need to know is that for Simcha, once money is in a state of suffix, so the money gets divided. Now the Gemara says our Mishnah is clearly not operating with Simchus's position, because we don't know what's happening in these cases in the Mishnah. For many of the cases, there are claims and counterclaims, but the truth of the matter is we simply don't know. So, is there an obligation? The answer is Suffolk. We don't know in a lot of these cases. So, in these cases, the Mishnah consistently said every single time, Hamotzi Mechaver Ola Varaya. So what it's coming out now is that we know Simchus is not going to be in agreement with our Mishnah, and so it comes out now that Simchus is disagreeing in the cases of our Mishnah. Now what the Gemara is going to flesh out is the following. If Simchus is disagreeing with the Mishnah, what exactly is the nature of the claim and the counterclaims in the Mishnah? Meaning, at what point is Simchus going to be disagreeing? So let's see the Gemara inside. So is Simchus going to be saying that you divide the money if the claim and counterclaim are both bari v'bari? Each person making the claim isn't guessing, they know. Now obviously one of them is right and one of them is not, but we're not focusing on who's right and who's wrong. We're focusing on just simply how sure they are about their claim. And are you telling me that Simchus is going to say divide the money even when both claim and counterclaim are both bari v'bari? So Amar Le'in. So he says, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Amar Simchus afilo bari v'bari. I'm telling you that Simchus is going to be saying that money gets divided even when claim and counterclaim are both definitive. Umi mai demasisim bari v'bari hu. Now the Gemara says, now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to analyze the Mishnah and see if we can make a determination in terms of the nature of confidence of each person making the claim in the Mishnah. Are the people making the claims in the Mishnah in a position of bari or bari? They both know what happened. Again, they both can't be right, but they both know what happened, and still, our Mishnah says Amotzi Mechavel Avaraya is going against Simchus, and Simchus would be disagreeing even in the case of bari v'bari. Diktani Zeh Omer. I'm sorry. Umimaita Masisim bari v'barihu. Diktani. So the Gemara says, well, let's take a look at the Mishnah. Zeh Omer Shorcha Hizik v'Zeh Omer Lo Ki. Low, key, etc., etc. Meaning, if you look at the wording of the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah is, we're looking right now at the first case of the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah, I saw your animal chasing my animal, and they turned a corner, and I know. Now again, how does he know this if they turned a corner? That part's a little bit unclear, but for our purposes, I know what happened. And what happened was, your animal damaged my animal. And that's the claim, and the counterclaim is, low key. And the words low key means, no, that's not what happened. This is what happened. So just from the tone of the Mishnah, it's hard to read tone in the Mishnah, meaning we're reading, we're not listening. But just from the way the Mishnah is phrased, it certainly sounds like each one is making not conjecture and speculation, each person is making a definitive claim. So low key. So Matzkev Lara Papa Midereisha Bari Bari Sefanami Bari Bari Emasefa. So the Gemara says, okay. So I'll tell you what. You're telling me now that our Mishnah is talking about where the claim and the counterclaim are both in a position of confidence, and they both know what they're talking about. Okay? Here's what's going to happen. If we're going to continue thinking along these lines, that every claim and counterclaim in our Mishnah is a case of bari v'bari, so basically, we're going to walk right into a buzzsaw. Meaning, it's going to basically take us into another issue. And that is the following. Ema Seifa. So let's read on in the Mishnah. And that is the following. Haya echa gadol v'echa katan hizik, omer gadol hizik, umazik, omer lo ki ala katan hizik. Let's say a guy owned two animals, one was large and one was small. And the claim of the litigant was, your large animal did damage to my animal. And again, that's in his self-interest. And the defendant and the counterclaim is, no, my small animal did damage. So echa tam v'echa muad, nizak omer muad hizik, v'amazik omer lo ki ala tam hizik. So amotzi mechaveru ala v'raya. So, and then we're just going to go over the next case as well in the Mishnah, where the claim was, your muad did damage to my animal. The counterclaim was, no, my tam did damage to your animal. Okay, now, the Mishnah says, amotzi mechaveru ala v'raya. Now, let's assume, because that's what we're doing right now, that the case in question over here is bari v'bari. That they're both confident about the position that they're taking. So, halo maisi raya shakom. So, kida amar mazik. So, now, we said hamotzi mechaver ala v'raya. That if there is no proof, so you cannot extract the greater amount. Okay. What is clear in the Mishnah is that without proof, you cannot extract the greater amount, but without proof, you can extract the lesser amount. Now consider, let's think about this. I'm making the claim that animal A did damage to my animal. That's my claim. I'm the litigant in this case. And the defendant turns around to me and the defendant says, no, it wasn't A, it was B. So now, if you think about it, and we're both saying it with confidence, the truth of the matter is that if there is no other proof other than our claims, the truth of the matter is, there should be no monetary exchange whatsoever over here.
Why isn't this animal more than a mixer? If the guy, the lesser animal is more than a mixer, he's going to give.
Let's think.
Something, but it's lesser amount.
Yeah, but it's not. But it's not more than a mixer because I'm saying it's animal A that did damage to me, and the counterclaim is, no, you're wrong. It's not animal A. It was animal B. Those are two. Moda b'mixas is when we're just talking about money, and we're talking moda b'mixas is $50 out of 100, or $100 out of 200. Here, the claim and counterclaim are two separate animals. It's not moda b'mixas. So the Gemara says now, if the claims are bari v'bari, so the truth of the matter is that we're not having a common dialogue with one another. I'm saying A did damage to my animal, and you're saying no, it wasn't A, it was B. And the Gemara says, "Name it to of the Rabba Bar Nasan." Now the Gemara says, "Now if that's the way to understand our Mishnah, so now we fell right into the trap, which is we know the opinion of Rabba Bar Nasan, the Amar Tanchitim v'Hodol Besarim Pater. Let's say we have the following simple claim and counterclaim. I say you owe me wheat, and you say back to me, I owe you barley. So now in such a claim and counterclaim, So Rabbi Bar Nosson says, do you know what the defendant now has to pay? Zero. Because the claim was wheat. So basically, what the defendant is saying is, I don't know from wheat. I never took wheat from you. I never borrowed wheat from you. I don't know what you're talking about. I will admit to owing you barley, but not wheat. So, in such a scenario, Rabbi Bar Nosson says, now, in such a scenario, the result is that the defendant owes nothing. Now, it is a struggle to try to understand why nothing, meaning the defendant is admitting to owing barley. So if I come over to you and say, I owe you $100, and I admit it, so a hodah by mamonos is kamei eidim. So there is much to discuss in terms of why, even though I'm admitting barley, I don't have to pay anything. But pretty much, to say it simply, if it's possible, basically, once his claim is wheat and once my counterclaim is barley, we're basically showing that there's nothing to talk about over here. Meaning, he's not demanding barley, and he's basically saying, I don't know from this barley that you talk about. Meaning, you don't owe me barley. But you do owe me wheat. And I'm saying to him, no, I don't owe you wheat, I do owe you barley. So basically, as a result of that, Rabbi Bar Nosson says, zero. I have to pay him nothing. So essentially now what the Gemara is saying is, how is this case any different? It's not. I'm going over to the person and I'm saying, A, did damage to my animal, right? The larger one, right? Whichever case in the Mishnah you want to deal with. But A, did damage to my animal. And the counterclaim is, no, it wasn't A, it was B. This is exactly like Rabbi Bar Nosson. And if the case in the Mishnah is Bari Vabari, as we're projecting, so now the conclusion of the Mishnah is you pay the lesser of the two. According to Rabbi Bar Nosson, no, you should be paying nothing. We are not having a conversation. I'm saying you, A, did damage to my animal. You're saying, no, B, did damage to my animal. We're on two different planets, and therefore there should be no exchange of money whatsoever. And from the Mishnah, it sounds like you pay the lesser of the two.
But the Mazik agrees that he didn't damage.
The Mazik agrees. Say what? The Mazik agrees.
The Mazik says no. My small one did damage.
Yeah.
But he agrees that he did do some damage.
No, but he's not agreeing. Meaning, yes, you're right. He's agreeing that one of my animals did damage. But he is not agreeing to the claim of the Nizak. The Nizak is saying the larger animal did the damage. The Mazik is saying, no, you're wrong. Now, you want to talk about what happened, I'll tell you what happened. But they're not agreeing. It's the same as Tan Bechitim Umod Besa'orim. I know, and it's
not. If I claim chitim,
yes.
I'm not claiming soil.
Right.
So I'm saying, don't claim me soil because...
Right, and if I'm claiming that animal damaged, I'm not saying that animal, they're two different animals.
But the question is, is the damage done?
The claim is specific. The claim is not a general, there was damage done. The claim was, that animal did damage to me.
But the counterclaim says there's no damage. But
the claim is very specific. That's why the Gemara. I understand, but that's why the Gemara is saying, if the claim was a speculation and conjecture, so then maybe you're right. But if the Mishnah's context is bari vabari, so then this makes all this problematic, because I'm saying definitively it's that animal that did damage to me, and he's saying back to me, no, you're wrong. It's not that animal, it's that animal. And they're two different claims. And when you have two different claims going and they're not the same claim, so Rabbi Bar Nosson says zero. And our Mishnah is saying the lesser of the two. And now you're having a Mishnah going against that which Rabbi Bar Nosson is saying. So Ella. So the Gemara says, Bar Vishama Dekamar. So the Gemara says, fine. And what you're going to have to do is we're going to have to change our assumption of the Mishnah. Meaning we thought the Mishnah was Bari Vabari, but then what we do once we say that is we step right into the trap of the Mishnah is going against Rabbi Bar Nosson. So now what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to change our assumption of the Mishnah, and here's how it's going to go. Bari Man Dekamar Shema Man. Bari Man Dekamar Shema Man. So now that we know that the Mishnah is where one claim is Bari and the other one is Shema, so here's all we have to do, and I'm speaking so sarcastically because it's not going to be easy, and we're going to have to figure out in the Mishnah who's the Bari and who's the Shema. So the Gemara says, Enem the Kamar Nizak Bari, the Kamar Mazik Shema. So let's say it's the Nizak who says definitively he knows what happened. And the Mazik, the owner of the damaging animal, says, I'm not sure. Maybe. He's guesstimating, he's speculating. So Akati Lema Tavit Yufta de Rabba Barnasan. So the Gemara says, okay. But that still is going to be difficult for Rabba Bar Nasan. Because if the Nizak is saying definitively what happened, and the Mazik is saying, well, I don't know, and maybe it's the other way around, but still they're not in agreement to what happened. Meaning, if the Nizak is saying it wasn't the smaller animal, it was the larger animal, so then the Mazik is saying, I'm not sure if you're right. They are still not in agreement with one another. And if the Mishnah's conclusion is, okay, you pay the smaller amount, if you're Rabba Bar Nasan, you wouldn't agree with that. According to Rabba Bar Nasan, you'd still pay zero because they're not on the same, they're not having a conversation. Ela dekamar nizak shema vekamar mazik bari. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be therefore that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Nizak is saying, I think that a larger animal damaged my animal. I'm not sure. And the Mazik is saying, well, I'm telling you, you're wrong, because here's what I know what happened. So now the Mazik is saying definitively, and the Nizak is only speculating. So the Gemara says, fine. Meaning, yes, then I would understand the Mishnah, even if you're Rabba Bar Nasan, you're going to understand the Mishnah. Umid de Seifa, Nizak Shemo Mazik Bari, Reisha Nami, Nizak Shemo Mazik Bari. So the Gemara says, okay, but now we're going to go backwards. We're going to go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, and now we're going to say that once we have established that, the Nizak is only speculating, and the Mazik is saying something definitively, so go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where, again, my animal is chasing your animal, they turn the corner, and now, the Nizak is saying, I think, and the Mazik is saying, well, I know. And again, what's the claims? The Nizak is saying, I think your animal damaged my animal. And the Mazik is saying, no, I know that after they turned the corner, that your animal just kind of tripped on its own and damaged itself. And that's what happened. And again, the Mishnah's ruling is, Amotzi mechaver ol averaya. No money's going to get exchanged. And now you want to tell me that in that case, Simchas is going to disagree? The Gemara's mind is like blowing up. Like, it can't be Simchas would disagree in such a scenario. V'amar Simchas afil bahadi itzrich lashminan. So the Gemara says, and you want to tell me that in such a scenario that Simchas would say no? Meaning, how can that possibly be? If the Mazik is saying definitively he knows that there was no damage that was done, and the Nizak is just guessing, can't be that Simchas would disagree with that scenario. Can't be. So lo, Seifa Nizak Shema Mazik Bari, Reisha Nizak Bari Mazik Shema. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what we're going to have to do. What we're going to have to do is, we're going to have to basically flip the Shema and Bari. Meaning, in the latter cases of the Mishnah, when there were two animals doing damage, and the Nizak is claiming it was a larger animal, and the Mazik that was claiming it was a smaller animal, or the Nizak was claiming it was the Muad, and the Mazik was claiming the Tam. So in all those cases, you're going to have to say, the Nizak was the one who was speaking possibly, and the Mazik was speaking definitively. And fine. And the Gemara says, and then it won't be a difficulty for Rabba Bar Nasan. And in the first case of the Mishnah, what you're going to have to say is that it's just the reverse. Where the Nizak is saying, after the animals turned the corner, I know this is what happened, although he has no witnesses, but he's saying it as a tainus bari. And the Mazik is saying, nah, possibly your animal did not get damage on my animal. Now again, in our Mishnah, the ruling is, Amotzi mechaver ol averaya. And on that point, Simchas is going to disagree. But the Gemara is saying, but I can handle that. Meaning, I can totally understand that. Because here in this context, look, what is the Chacham's position? The Mazik doesn't know for sure what happened, but there's no definitive proof that what happened is as the Nizak claimed. So therefore, you want to take money out of my hands? I'm going to make a veil of Raya. And Simchas will tell you, well, no. I'm going to disagree here because the Mazik doesn't know for sure, and his claim is only Shema, and the Nizak's claim is Bari. So Simchas will tell you, well, the Nizak is standing in a good position in terms of a claim. Chokim, you're going to divide the money. Gemara says, that's fine, I can understand that in such a scenario. Had there be such a machlokas. But halodami racial sefer. So the Gemara says, but I'll tell you now the problem. The problem is that basically, as we're reading now through the Mishnayos, we're making shifts in our head. We're in the first case of the Mishnah is talking about where the Nizak's claim is definitive, and in the second case of the Mishnah, the Nizak's claim is Shema. And in the first case in the Mishnah, the Mazik's claim is Bari. And in the second case, in second cases of the Mishnah, the Mazik's claim is Shema. And so basically, the Gemara is saying, I don't really like that. I don't like when we're reading the Mishnah and we have to be shifting who's the Shema and who's the Bari. So Amri, so they said in the yeshiva when posed with this problem, Bari v'Shema Shema v'Bari chad milsahi. So the Gemara says, look, at least as a category, it's all the same category. Yes, it's going to be a little bit tricky when you're reading the Mishnah to know who's the Shema and who's the Bari. But at least categorically, it's all within one category where one's the Shema, one's the Bari. But Bari v'Bari, Shema v'Bari, trei milin inu. But to make the shift where one case in the Mishnah is Bari v'Bari, and the next case in the Mishnah is Bari v'Shema, that is categorically two different categories, and that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would not be recording in one single Mishnah. We're at the two dots in the Gemara Gufa. The Gemara says, let's go back. Amar Rabbi Bar Nassan, Tanu Chitim, V'Hodol B'Sorim, Pater. So the Gemara says, let's go to the statement of Rabbi Bar Nassan, where I claim that you owe me wheat. And you come back at me and say, nope, I don't owe you wheat, I owe you barley. So Rabbi Bar Nassan says, this is not a case of Moda B'Mixas. This is a case where we're not having a conversation with one another. You're claiming wheat, on my counterclaim is barley, so therefore the defendant owes zero. He owes nothing. So the Gemara says, "My kamash lantanina." So the Gemara says, "Unimpressive, only because it's already a Mishnah, and the Mishnah reads Tanu Chitam v'Hadol Besar and Potter." So the Gemara says, "It's a Mishnah." So the Gemara says, "I mehasam hava mina Potter midmei Chitam v'Chay midmei Sarim." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but if all I had was that Mishnah, I might have thought that what we're speaking about over here is the Petur does not mean zero. Petur just simply means I don't have to pay you the more costly wheat." I'm exempt from paying you the most costly wheat, but I will have to pay you the cheaper barley. So, Kamash Malan, Depater Legamre. Rabbi Bar Nassan is telling us that the defendant has to pay, in such a scenario, nothing. Tanan. We learned in our Mishnah. Hayon Ezekim Shnaim Ve'echa, Gadol Ve'echa, Katan, V'chulei. Halom Aisi Raya Shaka Kedekamar Mazik, Amai Chitim V'sar Ninu. So the Gemara says, now let's take a look back at our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, so what were the claims in the counterclaim? The claim was the Nizak is saying a large animal harm my animal, and the Mazik is saying no, it was the smaller animal, and the Mishnah says you pay the lesser of the two, and the Gemara's basic question is why? Why are you paying less than two? So my lito ve'ein lo. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, v'sarim ninu ra'yili tol ve'ein lo. So the Gemara says, well, it means that in theory there should be a payment, but not in this particular case, because your claim was that the larger animal hit my animal, my claim is that the smaller animal, we're not having a dialogue with one another, and so therefore you pay nothing. So the Gemara says, "Tanya, I raise a mishnah malakatan min hagadol lagadol min hakatan." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but I'm going to show you a brisa, and the brisa says that you're paying the lesser of the two." So the Gemara says, "The tafas." So the Gemara says, "Well, what the brisa is talking about is where the defendant, after making the claims, he then grabbed. So even though Rabbi Bar Nassan says that." Truth of the matter is, I'm sorry, I didn't mean the defendant, I meant the litigant. The litigant grabbed the money. Now, so basically what the Gemara is saying over here is that, in principle, because the claims are two totally disparate claims, in principle, the defendant shouldn't have to pay anything, but if the litigant were to take the smaller of the two amounts, what's done is done. Tanan, the Gemara is not just going to go through the next case in the Mishnah. Hayachatam ve'achan muad hanizik amar muad hanizik asagadol v'tam asakatan v'amazik amar loki alatam asagadol muad asakatan amotzi mechaver olaverai. Okay, next case in the Mishnah, very similar. The Nizak is saying the muad damaged my large animal, the tam damaged my small animal. The mazik said just the opposite. So halo ma'isi ra'yishako k'dekamar mazik. Now again, in this case, if there's no more proofs other than just simply the claim and the counterclaim, you're going to pay the lesser of the two. Amai, chitim v'sarin ninu. And again, the Gemara says this is comparable to wheat and barley. and therefore you shouldn't have to pay anything. We're now on the top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says, theoretically, there should be payment, but there's not going to be payment because they're not having a dialogue with one another. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, but the Braisa tells us that there actually is a transfer of payment. And once again, this is difficult for Rabbi Nassim. I'm sorry. My brain just locked. This will be difficult for Rabbi Bar Nassan. So the Gemara says, the Tafas. Again, the Gemara says that yes, there really shouldn't be a payment, but if the litigant were then to take from the smaller amount, he shouldn't have done it, but what was done is done. And post facto, it's his. Okay. We only have one more little hill to climb in terms of finishing up the third perek and the sugya. Hayu shnehem shel ish echad shnehem chayavim. I have two animals. One of them did damage, but I don't know which one. So the Mishnah says shnehem chayavim, they're both going to be liable. Now that language of the Mishnah, when I read the Mishnah, I noted this, and now the Gemara is going to note it as well. That's a difficult language. What does it mean the two animals are going to be chayiv? It's not the two animals are going to be chayiv. It's me that's going to be chayiv. I'm the owner of the two animals. So how did you understand that language? So the Gemara says, Amalei Rava min parzika le Rav Ashi shma min ashvarim tamim shiziku ratza mizegova, ratza mizegova. So Rava mi parzika says to Rav Ashi, here's what we can learn from our Mishnah. Even though we know that it was only one of the two animals that did damage, they're both there going to be securing the obligation. So that in the event that for whatever reason one of the animals is unavailable to collect from, I can collect from the other animal. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Again, provided that these two animals are owned by the same person. Ema Seifa. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's consider, let's go on to the next case in the Mishnah.
I did that they were the same amount.
Right. In other words, the cap size is going to be an issue. But the Gemara says, Haya echa gadol ve'echa katan, ha-nizik amar gadol hizik, va-mazik amar loki ala katan hizik, ha-motzimei chaver ala veraya. So the Gemara says, now, if we go on to the next Mishnah, where the claim and the counterclaim, the claim is that your large animal damaged my... The large animal damaged my large animal, and the small animal damaged my small animal, and the counterclaim of the defendant was no, it's just the opposite. Now, ibe mu'adim my nafkalei mina, sof de meturim ma'alya by lishlume. Now, in that case, clearly, they're talking about the animals have to be tamim. They have to be tamim. Otherwise, what difference does it make? Whatever the damage amounts to, you're going to have to pay. So regardless of whether the large animal damaged a large animal, small animal damaged a small animal, we're going to assess how much damage was done, and if the damaging animals are mu'adim, you're paying full damage, out of pocket. So clearly that case in the Mishnah is that both animals are atamim. Amar lei seifa b'tamim, reisha b'mu'adim. So the Gemara says, well, okay, I'll tell you that, you're right, that case over there is talking about where both animals are atam, the prior case in the Mishnah is talking about where both cases are mu'ad. Amalei Rav Acha, Saba leRav Ashi b'Muadim Chayavim Chayav Gavra miBayilei. That cannot be, because consider that in the Mishnah says Shnehem Chayavim. They're both obligated. If they're owned by one person, and the animals are a Muad, so then the obligation is not on the animals. The obligation is on the person. He has to pay. So the Gemara says so can't be. So Vesu my Shnehem. And the language of Shneim also is just very difficult. If the animals are Muad, it should just simply say, he's obligated to pay. So the Gemara says, we're going to go back now to what we initially understood, is that both of these animals are a Tam. So the Gemara says, and in terms of understanding the Mishnah, our Mishnah subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Remember, basic machlok is between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And that is that when a tam does damage, so now we pay migufa, the payment comes out of the animal. Do I become, I meaning the damaged party, do I become a de facto partner in the damaging animal immediately? Rabbi Kiva says yes. And that's Rabbi Kiva's position of huchlat hashur. And on that Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. But right now we're focusing on Rabbi Kiva. And that means now that when an animal does damage, I become a de facto partner in the animal. And under those circumstances where he has both animals, one of the animals did damage, we may not know which one, but I'm a partner in one of those animals. But if he doesn't have one of those animals, to which then he's going to say to me, meaning the Mazik is going to say to me, look, if we're subscribed to Rabbi Akiva's viewpoint, so you became a partner in the damaging animal. Problem is that there were two animals. One of them did the damage, and we don't know which one. We're in agreement, we don't know which one. And they did both, or were owned by me. And you became the partner in the damaging animal, but once I lost one of the animals, so then you have to bring me proof positive that the one I lost is the one that didn't do the damage, meaning it's not the one that it's not the one that you were in the part that you were partners with. And then after you bring me proof, then we'll go ahead and we'll divide the other animal. So that would be a way of understanding the Mishnah. Hadron Allah Hameniach, that is the end of the third parak of Bava Kama. Let's begin. Let's begin the fourth parak of the Masechta. We start off Shor Shenagach Arba Vechamisha Shvarim Zeh Acher Zeh. You have a you have just a what seems to be a muad of an animal. Now I say it seems to be because as the whole context, the whole structure of the Mishnah, you're going to see that the animal is not a muad, even though it damaged four or five times. Now, it's a little bit of a riddle. How can the animal have damaged four or five times and not be considered a muad? So Rashi, the very first Rashi of the fourth parak, Uvakulan hayutam demishtal megufa. Every time it did damage, it's a tam. Vehechidam ikagon, Rashur v'nagach, Rashur v'lo nagach. Rashur v'nagach, Rashur negicha shnia, Rashur beis pamim ogimel, Shur v'lo nagach. Because, as we learned earlier, in order to be considered a shur muad, it has to have gored consistently again and again. And remember, we talked earlier about there's a rehabilitation process for an animal so that it could leave the status of muad. In this particular case, it actually never enters into the status of muad. So Rashi deals with the mystery of how could it be that it gored again and again and again and it didn't get to the point of being a muad. Okay. So for our purposes, obviously the Mishnah is working with the assumption, so let's work with the Mishnah. Let's assume that every time it did damage, it is a tam. So, Shor Shenagach Arba V'Chamisha Shvarim Zeh Acher Zeh Yisham La'Acheron Shebehem V'Im Yesh Bo Moser Yachzir L'Shelafanav V'Im Yesh Bo Moser Yachzir Shelefnei Panav V'Ha'Acheron Acheron Nisgar Divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir takes a position which is really difficult to understand. Let's just lay it out, and in terms of understanding, we'll try to do that later, probably tomorrow. But Rav Meir's position is as follows. Okay, so my animal damaged. Now remember, it's tam, which means that the payment comes migufo, comes from the animal. But before we get to Beis Din and before any assessment of money, it damaged a second time to a second ox owned by a second person. And then damaged a third time to a third ox owned by a third person. And again, just assuming every single time it's a tam. So, who gets paid first? If I didn't know this Mishnah, and if we just learned the Mishnah together, and I took it to a vote, I think we'd all say the first person would get paid first. Second person gets paid whatever residual amount is left, and the third person whatever is left out of that. I think that's what we all said. I'll speak on behalf of myself. I clearly would have said that. And Rav Meir says just the reverse. Rav Meir says the last person gets paid first, second to last person gets paid second, etc., etc. Okay, it doesn't seem rational, it doesn't seem reasonable. So again, right now we're not going to worry about understanding it. Okay, you're on the right track. Okay, you're perfect. So let's right now leave it as a mystery in terms of understanding, and later as we go through the Gemara, we will hopefully be enlightened in terms of understanding Rav Meir. In general, I always think to myself when reading a sheet of Rav Meir, right? The Gemara says that Rav Meir outsmarted everybody, right? You'll forgive me, I forgot what the Gemara is, but the Gemara says that Rav Meir was just operating on a different level. He has shitas. I think about the third parak of Sanhedrin, in the first Mishnah. He has shitas that are very difficult to understand. Oh, by the way, I just reminded myself. That's where the Gemara says it. That in the beginning of the third parak of Sanhedrin, he has shitas where it's just difficult to understand. and he just operates on a different level, on a different thinking level. So, you know, I can't say this all the time, but it's certainly a trend that I've picked up on, and that Rav Meir has shitas which are just difficult at face value to understand. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Omer, back to the Mishnah. Shur Shava Masayim, Shenagach L'Shur Shava Masayim, Veina Nevela Yafiklum. So let's illustrate. Rabbi Shimon obviously is going to be disagreeing with Rabbi Meir. Let's illustrate the following scenario. This shore damaged shore number one. And shore number one was at 200 and went down to zero. So that means now $200 worth of damage. But remember, it's a Tom, so he's only going to be paying half of that. So he owes the first guy $100. Now, in that $100, so let's assume, I'm going to give away some of the answer, let's assume that Rabbi Shimon on our Mishnah is subscribing to Rabbi Akiva. In that now, the first victim is now going to become a partner in that in the animal that did the damage. Now, notamana vizenotamana, so one's going to be taking a mana, the other one's going to be taking a mana. Meaning you split the animal evenly in order to satisfy the obligation of chati nezek. Now, chazav anaga kshor acher, shava masayim ma'acheron, shava masayim. Now this animal, the original animal, did damage now a second time. Once again, reducing an animal that was 200 down to zero. And now he has $100 worth of damage to pay to the second guy. Ha'achron notel mana v'shalafanav, zen notel chamishim zuz, v'zen notel chamishim zuz. Now, in terms of payment, so now here it's going to get interesting. Because the first guy now is a partner in the animal. And so the first guy is a partner now in the animal. So he, and I know this is going to be sounding a little harsh, in that he now, since he's a partner in the animal, also is going to bear responsibility, liability, for the damage that the animal does. Now, I know that's a little bit tricky because the first guy, the first victim, is just that, he's a victim. And yes, he's going to get payment from the animal. And yes, the payment is going to be coming from the animal. But that necessarily means that he's also going to be liable for any subsequent damage. And what Rabbi Shimon essentially is saying to us is, yeah, that's accurate. Zenoto chamishim zuz v'zenoto chamishim zuz. Chaz v'nagach shor acher, shava masayim. So now let's say a third animal is damaged. And that third animal that's damaged also $200 worth of damage. The animal went from 200 down to zero. Ha'achron notel mana v'shalafanav chamishim zuz v'shtayim harishonim dinar zahav. So once again, everyone's going to have to be sharing in that liability, because now the first and the second are considered partners in the animal as well. Each one of them now having a distribution of liability that they're going to have in paying off the animal. Okay, let's just quickly start with the Gemara. And we'll pick it up tomorrow. Masisa mani de lo karabi shmol, ud lo karabi akiva. Where the Gemara now is trying to rack its brain to try to understand the opinion of Rav Meir. Where Rav Meir says, first the third person gets paid, then the second person gets paid, and then the first person gets paid. And the Gemara says, how did you understand that? So the Gemara says, well, I don't know. The Gemara is basically saying, I'm struggling. De lo karabi shmol, de lo karabi akiva. Meaning, in terms of whether the Rebbe Meir in our Mishnah is subscribing to either Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, whether the animal is serving as a lien, or the victim is actually a partner in the animal, well, it seems to be neither. Ik Rabbi Shmuel damar balei chavos nenu hay achron achron niskar rishon rishon niskar mi ba'ilei. Now, if you're subscribing to Rabbi Shmuel, so what is the animal? The animal basically is a lien against the obligation. So now, the first victim is a first mortgage holder. The second victim is a second mortgage holder. And the third victim is a third mortgage holder. And so basically now when you're paying the mortgages, so who gets paid first? You basically follow who's in line. So the first victim should get paid first, and the second victim should get paid second, etc., etc. And he karebi kivadam artura deshutfehu, di yeshba moser yachzir, yachzir shalafanav lekulami ba'ilei. So the Gemara says, now if Rabbi Meir subscribed to Rabbi Akiva, and that they all have a partnership. Well, they have a partnership, so then the distribution of the liability should follow along the lines of what Rabbi Shimon recorded in the Mishnah. But Rabbi Meir says no. Rabbi Meir says that the third guy is going to get his full payout, and the second guy is going to get it any if there's anything left a residual, and the first guy is going to get it if anything's left a residual. So now the Gemara says, basically, I don't understand. How can Rav Meir take the position of third guy gets paid, then if anything's left the second guy, and the first guy? It doesn't seem to be following a Rabbi Shmuel model, which is basically mortgages. And it doesn't seem to be following a Rabbi Kiva model, which is first guy's a partner, second guy's a partner, and shouldn't they share liability to have to pay the third guy? So, we'll leave it off right now at this point in time. What is the svar behind Rav Meir? So tomorrow, that's where we're going to begin.